Special committee. Senate Special Committee.
Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Special Committee on Implementing Ballot Measure 91 to order. This committee was formed. What's the matter?
I'm just ruining Senator, or Representative Leininger's photograph of the committee.
Oh, I see. Okay. This committee was formed for the purpose of working Senate Bill 964, which is the reincarnation of Senate Bill 844 as amended. And most of you are here when that happened last week. So as a first order of business, I will open a work session for the purpose of adopting the rules. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. I move to adopt the proposed committee rules dated May 2015.
Senator Farioli has moved for adoption of the committee rules. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. For our next order of business, we will take up two amendments to Senate Bill 964, starting with the Dash 1 amendment. Adam, did you want to say something about that?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the Senate Bill 964 has an indeterminate revenue impact and a fiscal impact statement. The same is true for the Dash 1s and Dash 3s. Mark Mayer from Legislative Council is here to explain the Dash 1 and the Dash 3 amendments.
Okay, Mark, would you like to come up and do that?
He may not want to, but he's going to
anyway. So,
well, it's only four lines.
What?
It's only four lines.
No, that's a Dash 3. This is a Dash 1.
Dash 1.
Welcome.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, I was asked to come here today to discuss the Dash 1 and the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 964. The Dash 1 amendments merely modify the opt-out language, which is on page 49 of the printed bill, to fold in different grandfather clause language related to what type of dispensaries would be permitted to remain if a city or a county adopts an ordinance prohibiting the establishment of a dispensary within the jurisdiction of the city or county. I think the easiest way to look at this amendment is just to do a line by line of one of the grandfather clauses. I won't go through them all because it basically replaces the same language in the same way over and over. So on page 49, if you look at lines 8 through 10, the language currently reads, is in compliance with applicable ordinances of a city or county or is a land use applicant whose land use application is deemed complete by a city or county and in compliance with applicable ordinances of a city or county. That language is largely being replaced with the following language. Is a land use applicant whose land use application is deemed complete by a city or county and is subsequently found to be in compliance with applicable land use ordinances of a city or county. And there's been some discussion about the language land use ordinance, and I just wanted to clarify that land use in this particular context is meant to refer back to those chapters of law that primarily deal with land use in the county or city context. ORS 197015 sub 11 discusses land use, discusses the term for land use and how it should be applied, and it basically applies to zoning ordinances, land division ordinances, and other ordinances that involve implementing comprehensive plans, land use plans. So those are the types of ordinances that we are attempting to capture here, and tying this grandfather clause into the fact that the dispensary has filed that land use application and is in fact in compliance with those particular types of ordinances under those chapters. So are there any questions on that?
Senator Cruz.
Madam Chair, not a question. I'm just wondering if Mark would like to introduce himself for the record.
Apologies, Mark Mayer from Legislative Council.
Thank you.
Sorry, Senator Cruz.
I must really be sick. I didn't catch that. Okay, other questions from the committee? Okay, thank you. Well, we're in a work session, so I think a motion would be in order. Senator Ariola.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 964.
Senator Ferrioli has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 964. Is there any discussion?
Discussion.
Senator Prezanski.
Madam Chair, based on what we've heard from our counsel regarding the limitation, and it's throughout that amendment, that the ordinances that would be applicable are land use ordinances for the city and county, not other ordinances they may adopt. Based on that, I will be comfortable moving forward, understanding that they are not going to be able to adopt any type of amendment that could be dealing with the federal government's opposition or current state of how they register and look at marijuana as a controlled substance.
Thank you. Further discussion? Are there any objections? So ordered. Now we'll take up the Dash 3 amendment. Mr. Mayor, would you introduce yourself for the record, please?
Chair Burdick, Mark Mayer from Legislative Council. The Dash 3 amendments simply clarify that for the preemption language that is currently in Senate Bill 964, it also applies to local ordinances that may restrict delivery. The idea here was that transfer may be too narrow of a term and that we wanted to be a bit broader in that language, that there would have to be an affirmative action by the state to allow an ordinance to restrict deliveries as well.
Senator Prezanski, this is your amendment. Would you like to add anything to that?
I think what Mark's gone over addresses my concern. The word transfer is used in multiple places in the bill, and it seems to have a little bit more of a term of art that may not be quite as broad. And so by placing delivery in, it definitely calls it out as what we had said previously, that if a county or city chooses to ban a medical marijuana dispensary, as it will be known, that they will not be able to prohibit delivery of that medicine to their citizens within their jurisdiction that's coming from another location.
Thank you. Senator Prezanski, would you like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that the committee adopt the Dash 3 amendment in the Senate Bill 964.
Senator Prezanski has moved that we adopt the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 964. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Now we have the main bill before us. Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 964 as amended. And where are we moving this thing? We're moving it down to
there's the Senate floor.
Thank you. To the Senate floor where they be adopted. Do pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Bill 964 as amended to the Senate floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Senator Prezanski.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm sorry. Some of this information just came to me in the last 2 hours. Now that we're at the process of potentially moving the bill to the floor, I want to at least put on the record and get clarification with Mr. Mayor being here as to some of the terms that are used, because they seem to be in conflict with what we will be doing in the 91 area. So if I can, Madam Chair, just to put these on the record.
Please.
So looking on page 3, line 13 of the primary bill, it has a definition for mature marijuana plant. And I'm wondering if council could tell us, is there intent to match this definition up with what's going to be under 3400? Because my understanding, the term, the phrase, I should say, whether growing or cut and drying, is in conflict as to what is now going to be the definition in the 91 bill.
Chair Burdick, Senator Prezanski, that is correct. The language, when I prepared the primary bill that we're going to be looking at today, which is a gut and stuff of House Bill 3400, the Dash 1 amendments, I attempted to make all the definitions as similar as possible. The drying or cut language was an omission on my part and an unintended one. But, yeah. So we would want to make those definitions consistent.
Yeah, Madam Chair, the issue that's come to my attention is that once you actually have the harvesting taking place, you could potentially have someone that would be outside of the plant limits, especially, I think, indoor grows more so than outdoor grows, that could actually be in the process of having stuff that's been harvested, drying, at the same time having new plants coming on that would be identified as a mature plant, and so then they would be out of compliance. So that's, I think, a concern that we need to make certain we're not putting those individuals in difference with the law. So that's my first
one. Is that done correctly in the draft that we're going to be hearing on 3400-1? Is it done correctly there? Or which one is the better language?
Can I, Senator Perzanski, so what, could you voice your concern again? So,
under the current definition of mature marijuana plant in Senate Bill 964, again, this is page 3, line 13 and 14, it has the phrase whether growing or cut and drying. So in calculating plant numbers, I could see where someone could actually have plants that are, let's say, they're beyond being mature marijuana plants that are now into the processing of drying, and they could actually be used as a count against their overall count. That's my concern.
I agree that that would be an inconsistency between the language that puts a plant cap and the language in the definition. I would hope that if it came to a court and they looked at the intent on the record, it would be that the plant cap is on growing plants, and that that is what makes sense within the scheme, the regulatory scheme that we've established in Senate Bill 964. However, if we have a chance to amend, it would make sense to maybe take a look at that language that's in 964.
Your other?
Yeah, Madam Chair, the next one is going to be regarding Section 5 of the bill. This starts on page 10. It's the medical marijuana producers. If you go to page 11, lines 20 through 23, it establishes that the Oregon Health Authority shall establish rules on a marijuana grow site registration system to track and regulate the production of marijuana. And it goes on from there regarding a registered identification card holder or a person who is there designated to produce. It seems that we're maybe capturing people that are in the grow side as long with those who are in the production side. And my concern that is whether or not that language itself gives the authority to the Oregon Health Authority to introduce a seed-to-sell tracking program where this committee has said previously that we were going to have more of a light reporting program. And so I'm concerned as to the term that's being used where it says a registration system to track and regulate. Because when you compare it to Section 15, which is our database setting, that actually says what we're requiring the health authority to capture in the way of information, which is much more narrow than what that would be if my belief that the authority they would have would go beyond what we're trying to limit them in gathering under the database section of Section 15, page 19, starts on line 19. So it's kind of a comparison as to are we giving them unintended authority to go above and beyond what we want out of the database section.
Senator Perzanski, that one I'm a little bit more sure on. I would consider the language in subsection 1 of section 5 to be descriptive language that is written generally in nature, and the provisions of section 5 lay out specifically how tracking and regulating should take place, including criminal records checks, inspections, and then, as you said later, section 6 laying out exactly what is going to be required for the tracking mechanism. I would argue that if rules were attempted to be adopted that went above and beyond the specific provisions and how they specifically addressed these two things, the regulation and tracking, that they they would be overruled by if they went above and beyond those specific provisions, and they would be out of compliance with the provisions of the Act. The specific provisions always rule general provisions, and so we have very specific provisions in here that direct them how to track and how to regulate.
All right. Madam Chair, I appreciate you allowing me to put that on the record so we have that as a framework. The last one I have is dealing with Section 17, which is on page 23, starts on line 14. I know our intent, because this is one that I brought forward, which was a standalone bill, was to give relief to individuals who are in a dispensary that has been licensed and permitted by OHA today. The effective date, unfortunately, when you look at Section 78, looks like this may not go into effect until March 2016. My concern is now we may have this window of time where people who are currently, and I have one that has been brought to my attention, their registration is going to elapse at the end of this month. We have another provision that we are looking at putting in, which I hope that we can do at a later time, to capture these that are going to actually fall out of being renewed because it's moved in within the last year. But now I see the unfortunate potential of many dispensaries that have licenses that are going to be lapsing sometime between now and March of 2016. And if I'm reading the effective date for this section, it looks like we may be creating a unintended problem for those facilities that they could actually lose their license and would have to wait until March of 2016 to then ask to be re-registered under another amendment that we're talking about.
Senator Przanski, you're correct. You and I discussed the easiest way to handle this would be to remove Section 17 from the operative date language so it becomes effective upon passage, the date that the governor signs it, and then to potentially write a clause that would allow for an easier path to re-registration for those dispensaries that were not able to register in a timely manner because of the 1,000-foot rule that is currently in ORS 475.314 subsection 3. And I think that we had worked on language for that already. So,
thank you.
Thank you for putting those on the record, Senator Przanski. And I'll just have to say that with this new process, the path of this bill will continue. We anticipate that it will have a full fiscal review in Ways and Means, and at that time we will be able to make some of these cleanup amendments that will improve the bill. Okay, other discussion? Okay, objections?
Madam Chair, I'm going to object at this point just because of the last one. I'm very concerned. I understand the intent of the chair and the co-chair on the 91 committee of taking these up, but I'm very concerned that we have facilities that are going to be potentially hanging out there right now without being having the assurance that they're going to be somehow grandfathered in, and that is just it's very concerning to me. I apologize.
Well, and I was honestly surprised to hear that this didn't get implemented till March 16. Mark, do you know why that was put in there in the first place and why this wouldn't go into effect immediately?
Chair Burdick, it's standard drafting procedure to put all the substantive provisions together and to make them all become operative at the same time. If I had thought about that particular provision as I was writing it and I had drawn the issue to the attention of one of the members of the committee, I'm sure that it would have been caught earlier. So I will take the responsibility for not getting that so that it was effective immediately.
Okay. Senator Przanski.
Madam Chair, I'm not asking LC to take responsibility. I missed it as well. It's just one of those things when you think you've got it, we don't. I would ask the chair if she would be willing to allow us to do this by interrelation with the approval of the committee to have that done now before this vote takes place. That would make me feel much, much more comfortable.
I would be open to that. That would require a rule suspension to make this provision effective upon passage. have a motion, Senator Farrell?
Madam Chair, I move to suspend the rules for the purpose of a conceptual amendment to Section 17.
Chair Burdick, I can amend it very easily by adjusting one number in the operative date if through a hand engrossing.
Okay, tell me exactly what line and what change you would make.
Page 50.
Page 50. Actually, two changes, I apologize. Line 22. If you see the number 17, if you change it to 18. And on line 31, the number 17 should be changed to the number 18.
The number 17 changed to 18.
In both places, lines 22 and line 31.
It's a very simple conceptual amendment.
Yeah, it is.
We will, counsel, our honorable counsel has asked for a stand at ease, so we will stand at ease for a moment. Okay, we are back on the record. The rules have been suspended for the purpose of adopting a conceptual amendment to Senate Bill 964. So I'd ask unanimous consent from the committee to change the number on line 22 of page 50 to change the number 17 to 18, and on line 31 of page 50 to change the number 17 to 18. Are there any objections? If not, so ordered. Now, Senator Farrelly.
Madam Chair, I move SB 964 as amended multiple times for the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Senator Farrelly has moved Senate Bill 964 as amended to the Senate floor with a two-pass recommendation. Discussion?
Madam Chair, I think for the record we should state that the motion was as amended and conceptually amended, just to make sure that's on the record.
Okay. So noted. That will be entered in the record. Further discussion? Are there objections? So ordered. Good work, committee.
Madam Chair, before we adjourn, I want to thank the committee and the Madam Chair for allowing for that conceptual amendment so my tummy would not hurt as much.
I want to thank Senator Pozanski for the most thorough review of this document. I appreciate it.
Good adjourn.
All right, we're done.
Hit the gavel.
Good. Gavel us out.
We're done.
Hit the gavel.
Good. Gavel us out.